This is Ted Kennedy. The B-2 bomber is not just ripe for budget cuts. It's overripe in a moment. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, with your anything-goes approach to the Pentagon, you're probably not sure whether the B-2 is a vitamin or a rock group. You wouldn't cut it, whatever it is. It's a nuclear bomber they call stealth, because it's supposed to be invisible. So far, after a decade of debate, the only thing invisible is its mission. First, the Pentagon told us it's for attacking mobile Soviet missiles. That was mission impossible. Then they said it's for hitting Soviet missile silos. We already have missiles to do that. Finally, they said in a nuclear war, the B-2 could fly around the Soviet Union, making the rubble bounce. That's Dr. Strangelove stuff, Al. B-2s cost $500 million apiece, and the Pentagon wants 132? Be serious, Al. Do the arithmetic. Cutting back the B-2 is good defense policy and a good budget policy in these budget hard times.
Now, Ted, let me clear up a few things for you. The B-2 is an advanced radar-evading manned bomber that, unlike a nuclear missile, can be recalled from its mission of nuclear destruction. Not to be confused with the popular rock music group you referred to, which daughter Susan informs me is called the U-2. Now, let me tell you why I think, as do many people who are a tad more knowledgeable on the subject than either you or I, Ted, that the B-2 is an integral part of our defense program. Our defense system is based on a nuclear triad: land-based missiles, submarine-launched missiles, and manned bombers like the B-2. We must ensure the continued survival of the triad system. Congress won't fund the B-2 until it's thoroughly tested. We're hardly rushing into production. The world is more at peace now than it has been in a long time, Ted, and it's because of our military strength and our deterrent power. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on protection of juries and witnesses. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The sacred right of jury duty for some law-abiding citizens in certain cases is becoming a life-threatening situation. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, men and women in this country, and more specifically right here in the nation's capital, are being deterred from a responsibility that falls on all of us as citizens, jury duty. Witnesses sometimes fear for their lives and thus refuse to testify for fear of torture or murder by the groups connected with those on trial. In a recent case in Washington, the judge requested that the trial be closed to the public, an unprecedented request to protect the jury and the witnesses from being recognized. The U.S. Court of Appeals decided that any threat to the jurors was not great enough to refuse the defendant his constitutional right to a public trial. Yet, Ted, these are not ordinary times and circumstances. Shouldn't the jury's fear and the trial judge's decision be enough? Where are you on that, Ted?
Al, that trial judge in the District of Columbia overreacted, and you're overreacting too. The appeals court did the right thing when it overturned the judge's order and reopened the narcotics trial. Judges do have limited discretion to close trials, but it usually occurs in cases where there is imminent danger to a particular witness or juror, and it rarely lasts for an entire trial. Both the prosecution and the defense joined in urging the Court of Appeals to nullify the excessive order, and the court unanimously agreed. It pointed out that judges have much less extreme remedies available to protect their trials. Drug dealers and narcotic terrorists who dare to intimidate judges, witnesses, and jurors are committing a crime against democracy. They can expect to be sent to prison. The Constitution's guarantee of trials open to the public is an important part of democracy. You're too quick to cut and run, Al. This country isn't Columbia yet. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on apartheid in South Africa. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The administration is not adequately enforcing the law on sanctions against South Africa. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, a recent report by the Congressional General Accounting Office reveals a shocking lapse in the administration's enforcement of economic sanctions against the apartheid regime in South Africa. These sanctions are the law of the land, Al. They prohibit a variety of imports made in South Africa. The ban clearly applies to products of companies owned or controlled by the South African government. 2 years ago, the State Department listed 106 government-controlled companies whose products are banned, but the State Department bureaucrats left something out. They forgot to specify the products made by the companies. Millions of dollars in prohibited South African goods have been entering the United States illegally each year. Our customs offices don't know which products are banned. What's up, Al? There's no excuse for that loophole. Who's enforcing the anti-apartheid law? Savings and loan executives? The people at HUD?
Lord sakes, Ted. Donging on South Africa again. De Klerk was just sworn in as president. In his inaugural address, he spoke to all South Africans and the world. He is determined that South Africans will be united, blacks and whites as equals. And I believe he can succeed if people like you will let him. He will only succeed with our help. Sanctions only cut off his country. Open dialogue and open trade will enable us to be part of their transformation, not just as onlookers waiting for a destructive bloodbath. De Klerk said in his address to his people, "The eyes of responsible governments across the world are focused on us." Then he urged us, "Take note of what is happening in South Africa. Use your influence constructively to help us attain that goal." And sanctions are always your response, Ted, and that's still racism in reverse. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on Campaign Finance Reform. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Campaign laws in this country are in great need of reform. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Americans are demanding that we retool the way our public officials are elected, Ted. You Democrats keep coming up with a great new way to keep yourselves in office. It's already a sure thing for an incumbent. How about people who have not been in the public arena? Why not make the rules more fair for the new candidates? The Senate is now considering a plan that would shift the balance and the influence away from the big money political action committees, or PACs as they're called, back to the individual. True reform will never happen just by protecting the seats held by present members of Congress. That's you and me, Ted. Encouraging a system where PAC power is more important than people power will turn off voter participation surer than you getting reelected each time. So get magnanimous, Ted, even if you lose.
Al, campaign financing reform is overdue. Elections cost too much, and they always have. 50 years ago, Will Rogers said, "Politics has become so expensive it takes a lot of money, even to get beat." The current system breeds corruption. Campaign contributors want something in return. At the very least, they're buying access to Congress. At worst, they're buying votes and special interest pork. It's legalized legislative bribery, Al, and it's got to stop. But reform is easier said than done, and you Republicans are the roadblock. You pay lip service to reform, but when the chips are down, you always say no. 8 times we've tried to shut off Republican filibusters so we can put strict limits on campaign spending and fat cat contributions. 8 times you voted to keep the filibuster going and block reform. To place the blame for the present corrupt system, Al, you don't have to look any farther than yourself. We don't call you Pac-Man Simpson for nothing. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on recruiting more and better teachers. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. We can't solve the education crisis without recruiting more teachers and better teachers. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, as the Charlottesville summit made clear, a top national goal in education is encouraging more young men and women to make teaching a career. Today, it's a profession in crisis. The primary source of new teachers, college students majoring in education, dropped 55% in the past 2 decades. 20% of new teachers quit in the first year. Half leave before the 6th year. To stop the slide, we need better pay and higher status for teachers, effective ways to help them update their skills, and new incentives for young persons to enter the profession. One of the best answers is the Teacher Corps, an idea scuttled in the Reagan years but worth restoring today. It offers full college scholarships for young men and women who agree to teach for 5 years. The Teacher Corps is an excellent idea, Al. Run it up your flagpole. Even the right wing may salute it.
I'll salute it. Recruiting more teachers and better teachers is a goal I sure share with you, Ted. So does President Bush. In fact, Bush has a proposal called the Education in Excellence Act. Of course, his is full of good ideas and about $25 million. Yours is short on creativity, but sops up $300 billion. Bureaucratic barriers often discourage some of our most able potential teacher power. Many skilled persons and older persons seeking a second career in teaching are too often frustrated by hiring criteria that has little to do with the goals of educating children. Alternative certification, a big part of the president's plan, provides us a start to solve the problem of teacher shortages by providing opportunities for college graduates to teach who may not yet have graduated from a teacher training program. Worth pursuing. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on ethics in journalism. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Honest and ethical reporting should be the very fiber of our bloated daily news diet. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, freedom of speech is constantly being tested in so many ways. Freedom of the press is one that is under a new microscope. Misquotes and fabricated stories turn up all too often these days. Personally, I've been treated fairly by the Fourth Estate. But Ted, we both know that some people really get a bum rap. Reporters' use of unnamed and informed sources really gets my hackles up. Some boob can give a reporter completely false information, totally without fear of retribution. The First Amendment was not spread on the books 200 years ago to give blanket protection to liars and manipulators. Of course, there are far more fine journalists out there than there are the ornery and the lazy ones, and there should be, for the public demands truth and honesty in the newspaper they pay for. What's wrong with current journalism, Ted? People rate them pretty low.
Al, that's demagoguery against the press, and it's unwarranted. Most of us in public life have a healthy respect for freedom of the press and the skill and integrity with which journalists do their job. It's easy to see why Thomas Jefferson said, if forced to choose, he'd pick newspapers without government instead of government without newspapers. There are abuses. Some rags will print anything, as you can see at any supermarket checkout counter, but the vast majority of journalists don't publish information from anonymous sources without verifying it. Richard Nixon would still be president if you had your way, Al. Even the best journalists aren't perfect. CBS is fending off charges that it used fake footage of the Afghan war. ABC faked a spy report. And what about that phony bag of cocaine in President Bush's drug speech? If the president wanted to show that crimes take place near the White House, all he had to do, Al, was go over to the Department of HUD. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. Ted Kennedy, the nation faces unmet challenges, and the longer we drift, the more it costs to get the job done. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, President Bush deserves credit for admitting that we neglected serious challenges in the Reagan years. The problem is the president won't commit the resources we need to reach the goals he's setting. Clean air, toxic waste, the war on drugs, a mission to Mars, help for democracy in Eastern Europe, improving the quality of schools here at home. You name it, Al. White House rhetoric is there, but action is not. Resources are available, and I'm not talking taxes, I'm talking defense. Why keep Cold War levels of troops overseas when the Cold War is ending? Why can't our allies do more? Why build a 132 B-2 bombers at $500 million a plane? Why spend billions for Star Wars, but no more for Star Schools? Be serious, Al. How long before old Mother Hubbard Simpson goes to the Pentagon cupboard?
Well, my old pal Cheney's watching the cupboard. I guess you've missed your paper the last few mornings, Ted. Let me fill you in. Real arms reductions are in the works. The defense budget gets smaller every day. In fact, the Senate decided to take money directly out of the defense budget to help to fund the president's drug plan. You missed that one? Education has been discussed all day long. But the one thing you don't hear from the governors who just attended the first ever and highly successful education summit is that education is somehow grossly underfunded, as you always howl, Ted. Even most Democrats, it seems, have finally awakened to the fact that education problems in this country need creative and common sense solutions. Money does not solve those problems, Ted. Intelligent, informed, and concerned people do. I'll call the paper and get that subscription of yours renewed. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. Overly zealous groups who profess to be protecting animals from inhumane treatment never seem to see the benefits of these procedures. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, there is a serious misconception floating around that has been inspired by a highly vocal group of extreme self-proclaimed animal rights groups. These people protest that scientists are being inhumane and cruel to animals used in research and scientific experiments. That's not so. I'm sure some scientists would love to work exclusively with cultured cells and computer models, but new treatments must often be tested in animals. Experiments requiring the use of animals are carefully controlled, and strict guidelines for the most fair and humane treatment of animals is enforced. Without this use of animals, the medical field would not be near where it is today. In the technology of heart transplants, chemotherapy, AZT research, surely you don't object to that, Ted.
Al, animals and medical research provide a wealth of discoveries that could not possibly be achieved in other ways. Scientists use alternatives whenever possible, but often there are no substitute for animal testing. The challenge is to see that the animals are treated humanely and spared any pain. We need stronger regulations to prevent abuses and cruelty. Animals deserve protection because it's humane and because good research requires animals that are healthy and well-treated. Animal rights groups have been effective in achieving overdue safeguards. The vast majority are responsible citizens expressing honest concerns. They recognize the indispensable role of animals in research, and they deserve credit for insisting on treatment that's humane. A few members of these groups, however, choose to break into laboratories, destroy research records, and set animals free. Those tactics are irresponsible and counterproductive, Al. They set research back, and the goal of reform, too. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Senate did the right thing when it rejected the Atwater-Bush constitutional amendment to protect the flag. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, when the Founding Fathers created the Senate, they designed an institution to stand firm against passing political fashions that could harm the long-run interests of the nation. Their far-reaching handiwork paid off again the other day. The Senate said no to Lee Atwater's latest scheme to turn the flag into a constitutional football for partisan political purposes. We refuse to amend the Constitution to protect the flag. Shame on the flag burners, Al, but shame on you, too, for voting to tamper with the Constitution to silence acts of protest. For 200 years, the Constitution has survived with freedom of speech intact, and now you'd throw it overboard just because some nobody demonstrates in a way you don't like? Don't tell me old Atwater Al is afraid of a little free speech. Joe McCarthy would be proud of you, Al, but nobody else is.
Don't agree with Ted? Get tainted with McCarthyism. That's what McCarthy did. The Constitution still belongs to the people. 51 of our colleagues voted to amend. It would have given the people the right to decide for themselves whether or not the flag, our symbol of peace and freedom, is worthy of its protection. If passed, this amendment to protect Old Glory would have gone through a long ratification process before actual amendment. Ted, that means that each and every state would have had the chance to consider and vote on this extremely important issue. I think the states should have been given that chance, Ted. When the American flag is going up in flames because of some nut's right to protest, and everyone does have the right to peaceful protest in this country. There is no speech involved. The flag can't cry out, but people can. Let them use their voices and actions to protest, not the American flag. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on Balancing the American Checkbook. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Congress has again shown the country what Ethel Merman sang out years ago, "We can't say no." In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. A new fiscal year dawns, Ted, and once again Congress has proven its inability to make the really tough calls when it comes to the budget. Elected spendthrifts have driven the public debt limit to what is now $3 trillion. Even laws will not keep Congress from funding a bale of pet projects back home. Let's take that pen out of our hands and get the U.S. checkbook back in sync, Ted. I know all your lines, Ted. Take it all from defense, or it's the president's fault. Some money will be taken from defense, yet the burden will be balanced. And it's not presidential pork, Ted. It's congressional cock and bull. The buck stops here, with Congress, you and me, Ted. Bush doesn't vote. Let's get serious with serious budget cuts. What do you say? That'll gag you, won't it?
Al, I have a better barnyard word for your position, hogwash. We should cut the deficit by cutting defense, and the deficit is partly the president's fault. President Reagan's, that is. The budget mess started with Reaganomics, and the Bush White House is still pushing the preposterous notion that we can cut taxes, increase spending for defense, and balance the budget, all at the same time. The Pentagon went on a spending binge. We gave away the Treasury and massive tax cuts for wealthy individuals and corporations. Something had to give, Al, and the deficits, what gave? Now we're saddled with $100 and $200 billion deficits as far as the eye can see. How does President Bush react? He piles on more deficit. He launches a new tax-cutting spree, a tax giveaway to the wealthy through a capital gains tax cut that will add billions of dollars to the deficit in future years. Republican fiscal responsibility? It's the latest oxymoron, Al. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on censorship of the arts. It's a bad idea. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Congress declared a resounding no to Senator Jesse Helms on censorship of the arts. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, one of the most successful federal initiatives of the past quarter century has been the National Endowment for the Arts. Through thousands of worthwhile grants, the federal government has provided the seed money, enabling the arts to flourish in communities across the country. That distinguished record of achievement was jeopardized by Senator Jesse Helms. He tried to punish the entire arts endowment, all because of two small grants that it supported for two controversial exhibitions. His proposal would have made Congress a super censor and barred the federal government from supporting art that various interest groups might conceivably find objectionable. That's preposterous, Al. Sometimes art shocks our sensibilities. It's supposed to, but in a free society, we can't knuckle under to the know-nothings or embrace their calls for censorship. Don't join the book burners, Al. Stand up for artistic freedom. Admit for once that Jesse Helms went too far.
You just don't like what Jesse does, Ted. Why don't you admit that if it had been any other senator, your howls and cries would have been half? It is not censorship to vote against using taxpayers' money to subsidize pornography. Folks like Mapplethorpe and Serrano can display their works any old place they want to, any form they wish, as long as their good patrons and loyal fans want to pay for it. I've never seen such overreaction. He's not some wild beast who's going to chew up the arts. It was not an attempt to punish the entire arts endowment, but merely to improve the selection and grant award process. We took $45,000 away and left $171 million. Come on. I've been a supporter of the arts for a long time, Ted, but I can think of a lot better ways to spend taxpayers' money than on photos of a crucifix immersed in urine or a leather whip sticking out of some guy's rear end. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on federal funding for lobbyists. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Now we find federal money routinely funneled off to pay the salaries of those who lobby the Congress. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, the Truth in Lobbying Amendment will soon be law. It will keep those who lust for federal grants, contracts, loans, or cooperative agreements from using federal funds to pay the people who influence the Congress. That is good news. It's tough enough to sort legitimate funding requests from all the pork, but for the taxpayers to pay people to lobby us for more money with their money is wrong. In fact, it's just plain kooky. Think about it. The government is paying the private sector to get the government to cough up more money. Ted, President Bush will soon put this one on the books with his signature. It's a long overdue improvement in our convoluted lobbying system, and it will save some bucks, too. You agree, don't you, Ted?
Al, you really have no shame. Of course that lobbying reform is a good idea, but President Bush had nothing to do with it. It was a Democratic initiative, and Democratic Senator Robert Byrd of West Virginia deserves 99 and 44 one-hundredths of the credit. For years, Congress looked the other way while well-heeled lobbyists solicited clients with promises of federal funds for pork barrel projects. For a fee, of course, with the lobbyists taking a slice of the pork. The scandal boiled over when a West Virginia university hired a Washington lobbyist in the hope of obtaining a new federally financed research center for its campus. Senator Byrd blew the whistle on that abuse. The result is a new law requiring full disclosure of those sweetheart pork deals and banning the use of federal funds to pay for lobbyists and consultants. An overdue reform, Al, but we'd still be waiting for it if we relied on you and the Bush administration to see the light. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again on Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Ted Kennedy, the minimum wage is back on the front burner in a moment. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, you can't keep a good bill down. The minimum wage vetoed last June just won't stay vetoed, and for good reason. President Bush wants a juicy capital gains tax cut for the wealthiest individuals in the country, but he won't even give a cost of living pay hike to the working poor. It's the old Republican Halloween philosophy. Trick the poor and treat the rich. It's midnight, Al. Your capital gains tax cut is turning into a pumpkin, and the minimum wage is becoming a Cinderella issue of fairness for millions of working men and women. The House of Representatives favors a compromise to raise the minimum wage from $3.35 an hour to $4.25. Not even enough to offset inflation in the Reagan years, but better than nothing. What do you tell the working poor when you vote against the minimum wage, Al? Let them eat capital gains? You've got a nasty bump on your pumpkin, Ted. Bush said it at $4.25, not you bleeding hearts. Where I come from, people who struggle hard to keep and start small businesses fear that the federal government will force them to comply with regulations that will force them right out of business. Real Halloween. Small businesses also fear that too high a federally imposed minimum wage increase might cause them to lay off workers. They fear not being able to hire high school kids at a lower rate during peak summer months because they just can't afford to pay that higher wage. You're into big labor, Ted, and I'm into small business. We call them mom-and-pop operations. And it's not just a loss for business, Ted. It's a loss for our youth. Lost opportunities, lost jobs. That's your trick, Ted. It's no treat, it's a phony, and I don't buy it. Neither do the hard-working men and women in this country. It's failed liberalism. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on congressional interference in the Eastern Airlines struggle. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is Senator Al Simpson. Striking union members at Eastern Airlines are trying to draw Congress into a labor dispute they brought on themselves. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, for over 2 years now, Frank Lorenzo and the unions have been haggling over a labor contract. Since the unions decided to go on strike last March, forcing Eastern into the bankruptcy court, negotiations have ceased. Now the unions think a congressional blue ribbon panel will solve all their problems. We voted on this baby 8 months ago. The answer was no then, and the answer should be no now. It is now up to the parties and to the courts to decide the fate of this unfortunate disagreement. Ted, I know you think we should pull up our socks and run for blocks to aid your friendly labor unions. You are their captive. After all, they finance your re-election campaigns to the very hilt. But Congress has other fish to fry now. I say it's time to get back to our real business and leave union disputes to collective bargaining. They made the choice. Now live with it.
Al, your anti-worker bias is showing through again. The Eastern Airlines strike is one of the bitterest labor management disputes in recent years. It's time you stopped obstructing steps to end it. Month after month, the dispute continues to fester because the Bush administration sided with Eastern management and refused to invoke the time-honored statutory procedure to obtain impartial recommendations for a settlement. Even the Reagan administration didn't tilt that far against workers. Every time presidential action was recommended in similar strikes, President Reagan invoked the statute to try and reach a settlement. Now Congress is trying to end the stalemate by creating a blue-ribbon fact-finding board. But you and your anti-worker allies in Congress are trying to block that, too. What gives, Al? Afraid of an objective look at Eastern? Afraid that the workers are right and that Frank Lorenzo, Eastern management, and President Bush are wrong? Let's get the truth, Al, before this unnecessary strike causes more unnecessary damage. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on catastrophic health insurance for the elderly. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Congress is being stampeded by the wealthy elderly and doing the wrong thing for the rest of the elderly on catastrophic health insurance. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the lopsided lobbying assault by well-off elderly groups on the Medicare catastrophic insurance is having unfortunate consequences. Congress is overreacting. The House threw out the whole plan, and the Senate cut it back too drastically. Whatever other changes are desirable, let's not repeal the one part of the new Medicare benefit that the elderly can't get elsewhere. Coverage of the high cost of prescription drugs. Unlike other health expenses not paid by Medicare, insurance for those drugs just isn't available on the private market. Prescription drugs are the largest out-of-pocket cost for three-quarters of senior citizens. Their voices are being lost in the current uproar, but it's not too late to help. Join me in salvaging the most important part of the plan, Al. Don't throw out the prescription drug baby with a catastrophic bathwater.
Catastrophic bathwater? But, Ted, I do agree with you. Congress has succumbed to the pressure of a powerful lobbying effort. Folks in the U.S. House acted quickly to cover their old keisters so they wouldn't lose any votes back home. The deserving senior citizens in this country who cannot afford to pay the heavy cost of health care, the ones that were going to pay $4 a month, are the ones who will really lose. Prescription drugs are huge out-of-pocket expense for our needy seniors, but they are also the budget buster in this health care package. Estimates now say the cost of drugs will exceed the original estimates by $4 billion. Some states already have pharmaceutical assistance programs in place for the low-income elderly. It's sure not the only answer, but the Fed should always encourage the states to lend a hand. For you and me, Ted, there's an awful lot of work to do on this one. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on emergency funding for the California earthquake damage. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The devastating earthquake in San Francisco left many highways there in a desperate need of repair. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, everyone agrees that adequate funds will be furnished to California to repair the damages to their highways caused by the frightening earthquake. But now I'm beginning to hear some political rumblings about how to pay for it. I think some Democrats smell a chance to raise taxes. You're not one of them, are you, Ted? Federal Highway Trust Fund has been built up over the years to handle just this kind of unexpected financial burden. Before you start salivating and howling to the moon for new taxes, Ted, let's give the trust fund a chance to do what it was designed to do, build and repair roads. We all want to see that beautiful city of San Francisco put back together as swiftly as possible so that the lives of the people in that fine city can return to normal. Want to be partisan or practical, Ted?
Al, you still don't get it, do you? The billions of dollars needed for earthquake recovery and highway repair have to come from somewhere, and there are only three choices. Add it to the federal deficit, which would be irresponsible, raise somebody's taxes, or cut spending somewhere else. The other day, the Senate did the right thing. By an overwhelming margin of 88 to 11, we voted to bite the bullet and find enough new revenues and spending cuts to offset the billions of dollars in emergency relief we're sending to the victims of Hurricane Hugo and the California earthquake. But it was only a feel-good vote, Al. It was hypocritical and non-binding. In the end, it's likely to be business as usual, so the deficit will go up. Pay as you go is the right principle, Al. If we want new spending, we ought to pay for it. It's time for Congress to do the right thing, even if the White House won't. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on race discrimination and capital punishment. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.